Central Berlin is teeming with excited football fans, milling about, drinking beers, singing and chanting. They've gathered near the capital's fan zone, a sprawling purpose-built area replete with massive screens to watch their teams go head-to-head in the UEFA 2024 European Men's Football Championship. Groups of Albanian fans clad in their nation's dark red football jerseys pass by. There are plenty of Austrian fans in red and white shirts too. Dutch fans in bright orange jerseys are out in force as well. Even though their team's not playing tonight, many have arrived in the city ahead of tomorrow's match. And a few Italy fans are about as well. There are many other international visitors too, like this Indian fan who didn't get tickets to see any of the matches.
No, we didn't get it, but I still wanted to kind of feel the experience. This is the first time we have a friend here. I wanted to see them. This guy lives in Poland. He kind of came over as well. So it's a mix of football and also kind of catching up with, you know, close friends here. And I have not had this much beer in last 10 years or something, but I had so many beers in the last few days, and which has been amazing because I think when you think about Germany, when you think about Berlin, you can relate to beer and sausages maybe. And even the sausages, like, you know, a friend of mine, she's from Ukraine, she's been here before, she's like, well, you have to have the sausages.
This year, 24 national teams are participating in the European Championship, with matches played across 10 different German host cities. European football governing body UEFA, which are organizing the tournament together with host nation Germany, could rake in over 2 billion euro in revenue from television licensing, sponsorship deals, ticket sales, and so on. And while most of us are probably focused on which teams will make it to the next round, perhaps we should also be looking at what's being done to minimize the tournament's ecological impact. After all, UEFA billed this year's football tournament as the most sustainable European Championship of all time.
Whenever I see a claim like that, I'm kind of asking the question, as compared to what?
That's Benja Fex of non-profit group Carbon Market Watch.
That's a bit tricky, because if you would say this is a more sustainable championship than the last that was held in Germany, you know, you can actually compare it to the same event, right? So you have the same parameters that you can say, so this is actually an improvement. But when such a bold claim is put out there, you really need to start digging. What exactly do they mean by that?
Looks like UEFA scored a bit of an own goal there. But semantics and fuzzy methodology aside, organizers have taken quite a few measures to keep carbon emissions down, which are still expected to be substantial. Germany's Öko-Institute, an environmental think tank, projects that the tournament will produce about 500,000 tons of CO2 emissions. To put that figure into perspective, that's roughly the amount of CO2 produced by 100,000 cars in an entire year. The Öko-Institute says that 80% of this year's tournament-related carbon emissions will result from transport alone, with two-thirds attributed to air traffic. Football players, staff, officials and fans need to travel to and from Germany, and then onwards to different host cities and stadiums in the country. Berlin alone is expecting some 2 million international visitors from about 120 different countries. So what are organizers doing to keep travel-related emissions to a minimum? They're encouraging fans to choose cleaner modes of transport like trains. European nationals with match day tickets can buy discounted Interrail passes, for example. A deal that's been designed to entice more European fans to catch a train to Germany rather than fly or drive there by car.
The Interrail Pass Euro 2024 is a special pass, as exclusive product for match ticket holders, and is valid for a round-trip journey from 32 European countries, excluding, of course, German residents, to Germany.
That's Silvia Festa, Senior Business Development Manager with U-Rail, which sells the train passes. She says it's been popular since launching, with over 5,000 tickets sold ahead of the tournament, though unfortunately none of the football fans I spoke to said they'd caught the train to Germany. Like this Dutch football fan.
Car and aeroplane. Yeah. Easily and quickly. Yeah. That's the main thing.
Or this young Austrian.
We came with the car, and we're together with my father. Your ads depend on the price, of course. What I saw from the Austrian railway, it's very expensive. Just to come to Berlin from Vienna, you have to pay just one way more than 200 euros.
UEFA Euro 2024 ticket holders can also snag low-cost domestic train tickets offered by German rail operator Deutsche Bahn. And everyone with a ticket may use Germany's public transport network free of charge from 6 a.m. on match day until 6 p.m. the following day.
I think that's a really, really good first step, and I definitely welcome that.
That's Benja Fex again.
The tournament in Germany in 2024, I think it's a really nice plan that I set up with connecting the match tickets to train tickets and even having European partnerships that give a discount on the Interrail tickets, right? So I would say that's a pretty nice plan, and we will have to see how that kind of, you know, turns out in reality.
Hartmut Stahl of the Öko Institute agrees, but says organizers could have done better.
So that's definitely a good idea, but I mean, what obviously would be the best solution to have even free tickets all over Germany. That would be a real progress.
But let's be clear. These travel discounts and freebies are only available to the lucky 2.3 million fans who got their hands on coveted matchday tickets. Parking is also restricted near football arenas to further discourage fans from arriving by car. But only Berlin, Hamburg, Leipzig and Frankfurt have scrapped all public parking lots in the vicinity of their stadiums. Organizers have also divided all 36 group stage matches between three regional clusters. One in northern and eastern Germany, another in western Germany, and one in the south. This is designed to keep team and fan travel to a minimum and reduces the number of flights taken by football teams by 75%, UEFA says. But only three teams have actually pledged to avoid or cut down on flights during the tournament. Germany has said its team will not fly during the group stage. Portugal promised that its squad will travel to two out of three group stage matches by bus. And Switzerland said that its players will take a bus to travel to its German base camp. UEFA has also said it's pushing for more sustainable football infrastructure, like using renewable energy to power German football arenas, reducing floodlight use, minimizing water consumption, and encouraging grey water use where possible. But we'll only know how many resources have actually been saved after the very last match has been played. Another key factor for keeping carbon emissions low is avoiding construction.
To make these major sporting events more sustainable, one key aspect is, of course, to use existing infrastructure, existing stadia, or to have a follow-up usage for anything that is built,
says sports researcher Pamela Vicker. Germany is hosting all Euro 2024 matches in 10 pre-existing football arenas that will be used for many years to come. Let me give you a sense of why this is so important. Qatar built 7 brand new football stadiums specifically for the 2022 Football World Cup. Non-profit environmental group Carbon Market Watch found that their construction alone accounted for over 1.6 million tons in CO2 emissions, roughly 3 times more than what has been predicted for the entire Euro 2024 tournament. And then there are smaller and perhaps more symbolic measures that can also help make this year's football fest perhaps a little bit more climate friendly. Like offering vegetarian and vegan snack options, something UEFA has also recommended for the tournament. And I did see vegan sausages on offer at Berlin's bustling fan zone. But the Dutch football fan I spoke to earlier didn't seem too keen on meat-free snacks.
We have seen them, but we don't try them. No, we eat meat.
But one younger German fan I interviewed did seem open to vegan food.
Yes, I honestly tried to be vegan for a year, It was not that bad, to be honest. Now I'm eating meat, but sometimes I use the vegan options here, and I think it's a good idea for people who are living vegan, so that not just meat or something is getting sold. So beautiful. You cannot find that anywhere.
He told me that offering climate-friendly food options was easier than getting fans to ditch planes and cars for trains and bikes.
Yeah, vegetarian food and vegan food, I think it's not that difficult to do that. And like other things like logistics and something, it's really difficult to manage that because it's a big tournament. And yeah, I think they give their best.
So organizers are trying to reduce carbon emissions directly linked to the tournament. What's new is that now they're also putting money towards avoiding future emissions.
They have developed this carbon fund, and that's something which I think is really something new and really a big step forward.
UEFA has allocated 25 euro for every ton of CO2 emissions produced during the tournament. This 7 million euro carbon fund will be used to support small German football teams become more sustainable.
And the idea is that the money is no longer spent for buying certificates. These are these carbon compensation projects. But instead, the money, the funds are given to clubs in Germany, because there are so many clubs in Germany that they have problems with their facilities. They have to do renovations. Energy efficiency is a big issue there.
But while 7 million euro may sound like a lot of money, UEFA could be spending so much more, given it's likely to make over 2 billion euro in revenue. Not only that, UEFA has also been granted massive tax exemptions worth up to 250 million euro. So we've looked at some of the steps taken to reduce the tournament's carbon footprint and efforts to reduce future emissions too. But what about the potential positive long-term impact of such tournaments? Alice Ainsworth of non-profit Carbon Trust thinks that athletes can lead by example and inspire fans to adopt more eco-friendly lifestyles.
Role models play a huge part in sport. You know, people have their sporting heroes that they follow intently and actually can have a really big influence on the way an individual chooses to live their life. If you see your sporting hero choosing to consume less meat or opting to avoid domestic travel or really kind of lead a more sustainable life, maybe they're talking about, I don't know, lowering their fashion footprint, for example, and re-wearing clothes. Things like that actually can have a really significant positive impact on an individual's choice and lifestyle choices.
But of course, we shouldn't be naive either, says sports researcher Pamela Vicker.
So we will have a tournament for 4 weeks, so it cannot solve all societal challenges and it cannot make everybody more sustainable during this period of time, but it can, of course, create some initial changes. Maybe some people change their attitudes, maybe some people already change their behavior, so it can be a starting point for many people, but we cannot expect sporting events to solve all these societal and political issues within 4 weeks.
Okay, now let's consider some radical options, like a football manager whose team is one goal down with only a few minutes left on the clock. How could major sporting events be organized to drastically reduce their carbon footprint? This is something Benya Fex of Carbon Market Watch has been thinking about in the context of the 2024 Paris Olympics.
If you take the example of the Olympic Games, maybe 90% or even more of the people who are actually watching the games are not in the stadium, but they're watching it on TV. So the question really is, like, if you can reduce the amount of people who take the plane to go to that place, I think you could really make an impact.
So one approach could be limiting the number of spectators allowed inside sporting arenas and encouraging more people to stay home and watch tournaments on television or online. But then we could have eerily quiet sports venues like during the COVID pandemic when football matches were held in empty stadiums. Do we really want that?
We tried to think of systems where you reduce the access to the stadiums only for local people and you create sort of local public viewing hubs in a way that would help. But, you know, it's always, you're always losing something.
Only allowing locals to attend major sporting events would be another way to drastically reduce their ecological impact. After all, international travel, and air traffic specifically, is the biggest source of carbon emissions in this context. But that goes against the very idea of major tournaments: internationalism, multiculturalism, and openness. I suggested this radical idea to one German spectator near Berlin's fan zone.
Just Germans is not a good idea because the atmosphere is much, much better when everybody's here, like every country.
And then there's the most climate-friendly but extreme option.
The problem of sport is that it would be most environmentally friendly when there would be no sport event. But since we all enjoy having sport events, that they also have many positive social impacts, we have to work on how these sport events can be hosted in a way that they are more environmentally sustainable and also more economically sustainable.
But me personally, I wouldn't want to live in a world without the excitement and drama of international football tournaments. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Living Planet. It was produced by me, Ben Restler, and edited by Neil King. The sound engineer was Michael Springer. Any questions or feedback? Just send an email or voice message with your name and location to livingplanet@dw.com. Don't forget to also subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and check out our YouTube channel too. And please give us a positive rating or review. That really helps our listeners find us. Thanks for listening.
Our relationships with the natural world have a lot of layers. On Threshold, we take immersive journeys into the heart of those relationships. Get up close and personal with American bison. Camp out on the Greenland ice sheet. Meet the people who call the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge home. And go inside the effort to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees. Listen and subscribe to Threshold in your favorite podcast app.